Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something, well, it feels bigger than just a new feature. It's almost like a digital identity crisis for how we search online. You know, for decades, Google was basically a doorway, a list of blue links, simple, pointing you towards information.
Right, like a digital index card system.
Exactly. But now, that doorway seems to be changing, it's becoming more active, more like a librarian, maybe. Not just pointing you to the shelf, but actually reading the books for you and giving you a summary.
That's a good analogy.
So the big question is this the future we want? Or is it a massive shift we really need to watch carefully?
Yeah, we're diving deep into Google's AI-powered search today, looking at these huge steps it's taking to become, well, maybe the default way we get information online.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it move from those classic blue links to these AI-generated answers, and honestly, it feels like it's happening pretty fast. It really is. And our mission today, for you listening, is clear. Let's unpack what Google AI mode actually is, you know, how it's evolving right now, and crucially, what this fundamental change means for you. How you search, how businesses have to adapt, how content creators are feeling this.
The people actually making the stuff the AI summarizes.
Precisely. The goal, as always, is to help you get up to speed quickly, but really understand it. Find those aha moments in all this complexity.
Okay, so here's the core question for this deep dive then. Are we really standing on the edge of a complete overhaul in how we find knowledge? And what does that future actually look like? Let's get into it. All right, let's start right at the beginning. When we say Google AI mode, what is that really? What's the core difference from the search we've used for like 20 years? It feels like more than just a tweak.
Oh, it's definitely more than a tweak. Think of it as a major evolution. Instead of just listing links, it uses these really sophisticated large language models.
Okay, LLMs.
Right. Think of them as super advanced digital researchers. They can read and understand vast amounts of information and then synthesize it, pull it all together into a direct answer or summary right there in the search results. The idea is to give you comprehensive answers, immediate insights, often without you needing to click through, you know, half a dozen different websites.
So it can handle complex questions, not just keywords.
Exactly. It understands nuance better. It can even process images. You could upload a photo and ask about it. It's great at summarizing web content, creating tables or charts from data it finds. And it even offers things like coding help or technical support explanations. It's incredibly versatile.
That sounds incredibly efficient, like a shortcut to being informed, getting the answer right away without all that clicking and comparing different sites.
It absolutely is efficient.
Like having a research assistant on call. But there's always a but, isn't there? If the AI does all the heavy lifting, the summarizing, are we maybe losing something? Like the skill of evaluating sources ourselves or stumbling onto interesting things while we browse.
That's a really important point. It gets to the heart of the tension here. There's definitely a conversation to be had about, you know, long-term information literacy. Super convenient, no doubt.
Yeah.
But it does shift control, potentially narrows our view if we're not careful. It optimizes for the quick answer, which is great sometimes, but maybe not for that deeper dive, that exploration where you'd find unexpected connections.
A powerful tool then, but maybe one we need to use consciously. Okay, so for people who maybe haven't seen it much yet, what's it like right now? How's Google actually rolling this out to, well, everyone, without causing total chaos?
Well, right now it's still optional. And where they've put it is interesting, often on the left side of the main All Results tab.
Okay.
And that placement feels deliberate. It's not front and center forcing you. It lets people sort of stumble upon it, discover it accidentally, try it out. They get familiar with it gradually without disrupting their old habits too much.
Yeah.
And often people find they actually prefer it once they've used it a few times because they found it useful on their own terms.
It's like a soft launch for a new habit. That makes sense. It's good to hear they aren't just flipping a switch for everyone. That choice feels important. But there was some noise about it becoming the universal default, wasn't there? I remember seeing stuff online.
There was, yeah. Some initial speculation got kicked off, partly by social media posts from Logan Kilpatrick at Google AI Studio. It sounded like maybe it would become the default for everyone. But then Robbie Stein, who's the VP of Product for Search at Google, clarified things. He said the focus right now is more on making it easier for users who like AI mode to choose it as their personal default, not forcing it on everybody.
Ah, okay. So empowering user choice, not mandating it.
Exactly. They're apparently getting ready to introduce new toggle settings, specific buttons maybe, right in the interface. The whole idea is to give you, the user, the explicit power to easily say, yep, I want AI mode as my default way to search. It respects that people search differently while still nudging folks towards the AI capabilities.
Okay, so the main takeaway for you listening is you will have a choice. That's good. But it makes me wonder, if I do choose AI mode as my default, what actually happens to the old blue links? Do they just poof, gone?
Ah, no, they don't just vanish into the ether.
Mm-hmm.
If you make AI mode your default, yeah, the AI summaries, those AI overviews, they become the main thing you see. Top of the page, direct answers.
Right.
But the traditional list of links, they'll still be there. You'll just need to click on a different tab, usually called web. It'll likely be positioned towards the end of that bar where you see images, news, shopping, etc.
Ah, okay. So they're relocated, not eliminated.
Precisely. They move from the main stage to like a dedicated side room. And connecting this to the bigger picture, this is definitely a fundamental shift in how results are presented. It clearly shows Google prioritizing AI answers. But keeping that web tab is key. It means they're sticking to that promise of choice, making sure people who want or need the traditional links can still get to them. It's a calculated move.
Yep.
Reprioritizing delivery, not deleting options.
Okay. This sounds like a pretty major transition, though. It's going to change habits.
Yeah.
Do we have any sense of a timeline? When might this personal default setting become common?
Google hasn't put out any hard dates. And honestly, a change this big, you have to be cautious. But, you know, looking at how Google usually rolls things out, how users are reacting, the whole AI regulation landscape, industry watchers are kind of pegging 2026 as a realistic time frame. Not for a forced switch, but for when a lot of people might have actively chosen AI mode as their default. It's more of a gradual drift. And this slow approach, it's strategic. It's a balancing act. How do you give users those instant AI answers, keep advertisers happy, and not completely alienate the publishers whose content fuels the whole thing?
Yeah, that's the $1 million question, or maybe $1 billion question.
Right. So they need to watch adoption rates, watch the business impact very carefully before making any massive shifts. Okay, speaking of business impact, let's talk ads. Advertising is Google's engine. How does that model even work when the main view isn't a list of links people click on anymore? That seems like a huge challenge.
It is the critical challenge, arguably. Google's actively testing different ad formats within AI mode, within those AI overviews. They're exploring new ways for ad partners to engage. Maybe sponsored snippets within the AI answer. Integrated product links. It's still experimental.
So the marketing world is kind of holding its breath.
Pretty much. There's a lot of uncertainty about how effective ads will be when the AI summary is the first and maybe only thing people look at. And that uncertainty definitely plays into Google's cautious rollout strategy. You have to remember, Google has something like 90% of the global search market. They send billions of clicks to websites.
It's the internet's main traffic cop.
Exactly. So this shift doesn't just affect Google's wallet. It raises huge questions about how that traffic gets distributed in the future. How does it impact everyone from small bloggers to major news organizations? The ripple effects could be massive.
Which brings us right to the publishers, the content creators. Google says, oh, AI summaries generate more quality clicks. But research seems to contradict that, right? What's the reality on the ground for them?
Yeah, this is where it gets really interesting and maybe a bit contentious. Google makes that claim about quality clicks. But independent research, like from Pew Research, suggests something different. Their findings indicate people are actually less likely to click through to the original site when the AI gives them a really comprehensive summary up front.
Wait, how can both be true? Less clicking overall, but Google claims more quality clicks.
That's the puzzle, isn't it? Maybe Google defines quality differently. Perhaps the clicks they do get are from users who are more targeted, more likely to engage or convert once they land on the page. But for a publisher, their model often depends on sheer volume, on ad impressions from lots of visitors. So fewer clicks, even if Google calls them higher quality, could still mean a big hit to their revenue.
So it's a fundamental mismatch in perspective, volume versus targeted intent.
Potentially, yes. And it's causing real concern among publishers about traffic drops and, you know, the impact on their bottom line.
And adding fuel to that fire, Google isn't currently paying publishers for the content used in these AI summaries, right? They're using the information without direct compensation.
That's correct. As of now, there's no direct payment mechanism for the content synthesized into AI overviews. Google is essentially leveraging publicly available information, which includes publisher content, to generate these responses.
Wow. So what are publishers doing about this? Just accepting it?
Not quite. There's serious talk among publishers about forming coalitions. Some are even calling it a potential NATO for news, banding together to negotiate.
A NATO for news, seriously.
Yeah, it signifies the gravity of the situation. They could try to collectively bargain for licensing fees, maybe pool resources for legal fights over copyright and fair use, which are really murky areas with AI right now, or even coordinate on what content they allow Google's AI to index.
So controlling the information supply.
Potentially. It's a fascinating strategic response to this huge shift. Publishers are trying to figure out how to survive, let alone thrive, when their content might just be absorbed into search results without users ever visiting their site.
It sounds like a real battle shaping up. Okay, let's circle back to the user one last time. In this current optional phase, how are people reacting? Are they actually using AI mode, liking it, or sticking with what they know?
Well, the early signs suggest that when users do discover and try AI mode, they often really like it. They develop a strong preference. The convenience factor is huge. Getting that comprehensive answer quickly, without opening 10 tabs, saves time. It simplifies things, especially for quick facts or complex topics.
The executive summary effect.
Exactly. But it's not universal. There are definitely users and specific types of searches where people still prefer the traditional blue links. You know, if you're looking for diverse opinions or you want to really dig into the original sources yourself or do deep research where you need to see everything.
Right. Comparing sources is important sometimes.
Absolutely. And that's why Google's plan for the toggle system seems smart. It acknowledges that people have different needs and preferences. It lets the system adapt to the user, not force the user to adapt to the system.
Which really explains why they're taking it slow. This gradual approach, letting people opt in and adapt. It's probably the best way to encourage long-term adoption without sparking a huge backlash from users who like things the way they are.
Precisely. It's classic change management on a global scale.
So quite the journey we've taken. From those simple blue links we all knew to this complex AI-driven synthesis of information. Hopefully you listening now have a much clearer picture of Google's AI search evolution. Not just the what, but the so what. What it means for how we find things, for businesses, for the creators. It's a really dynamic space.
It really is. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. As AI keeps changing how we get information, what new skills or maybe habits do you think you'll need? How will you stay critically informed, make sure you're seeing the whole picture, even when an AI offers that tempting, easy summary?
That's a great question to mull over. Maybe next time you search for something. Thanks so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and we'll catch you next time.